We move in continuity of our exposition and the dissertation that we have been laboring in for quite some time and will be. Take out your documents, and for our guests, hopefully they have excerpt of the document. Amen. Volume 2. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time.
From manifestation in time.
Now we're in volume 2, and of course you know we spent some 5 years in volume 1. And we've got to get this. We've got to understand, amen, the essence of what's before you each day. What your eyes are beholding. Got to see beyond the visibleness of things. Got to see the initiation and origination of things in Him, in God, in Christ. Amen. And so nothing is out of control. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. I want you to turn, I think we'll start out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and I really want to focus this morning in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, chapter 13 and 14. It is so important for us as we move through time and we move through life, to have an understanding. Amen. What we know takes the worry out of the matter. What we comprehend. Amen. I often give the little example of this happened a long time ago. I was in the house and by myself and I knew the wife and everybody was gone and kept hearing this noise. And I go look around everywhere. And then I was on the computer working on some material. Start back to work and I hear the noise again. And of course it alarmed me. So I check out everything again. And then I went again and I said, I'm going to just stand in this area and see what that is. And I have forgotten that we had just bought a new refrigerator. It was the ice maker. You know how. I went back to work and I don't think I even heard it again. Why? Because I knew what? What it was. I knew what it was. And that's the way it is in life.
Come on with it.
Things come and they knock us to our knees.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're able to see beyond that,
that
mountain was ordered.
Mm-hmm.
That situation was ordered.
Yeah.
For purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Now this all begins with salvation. Here when we speak of actualization in eternity, we're talking about the essence of God having through His Word spoken everything into existence. Every creature, every object, whether it's animate or inanimate, every occurrence, every event, every situation, for purpose. Otherwise, you've got some outside force out there, fate or whatever, that's doing things and as they do them, God can check them, but he's not responsible for the origin of them. No. It is more comforting to comprehend that God has purpose for it. God has need for it. Then something is just popping up and happening. So you have to distinguish actualization as God's word calling things into being and into function for purpose. Now what we have to do is we have to distinguish that from manifestations in time. God's word is the ordering of it. The display of what you see is the expression of it.
Amen.
It's the expression of what God ordered for purpose. Mm-hmm. It goes back to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not about to feel comfortable concerning life if you're a little shaky about your salvation. We speak of salvation, we're talking about your eternal relationship with God. That's what your salvation or your security amounts to. Your eternal relationship with God, in God. As we look back into Ephesians chapter 1, Brother Deacon, read about the first 3 or 4 verses there. Everybody got Ephesians chapter 1?
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 1, King James Version.
Let's start with 3, because we got a little time constraint, as we always do.
Beginning verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be...
Now you're reading from the King James, right?
King James Version.
All right. Now here at the Grace Gospel Church in... might say to those that are watching us through, as we welcome those that are watching us through the webcast, here at the Grace Gospel Ministry, we read from the King James simply because that's the one most of us cut our teeth on. That's the translation. Also read from the Greek interlinear, simply because you have the Greek scripting there and the English word under it, so his hands are tied closer to the script than the translator is. And then, of course, we go through the threefold method of exegesis. Amen. Before we actually get into explication, first, we must get the utterance complete in what it is actually being verbalized. What is actually versed there. What is actually uttered. Remember, wrong utterance, wrong explication.
Absolutely.
All right, Brother Deacon. Read that. Everybody got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
All right. Now, we're going to go to the Greek interlinear. Those that don't have it, follow us closely as we move through this. Amen. And your translation will be close, but there are some words that are added in. I do give the King James credit for this. They italicized words that there are no Greek scripting for. All right?
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 3, interlineal Greek text. Mm-hmm. Blessed the God.
Stop. Stop. See that word there? Evlogitos. Which is the derivative of word evangelio, using here at the Greek Gospel Church. We utilize the modern Greek pronunciation in lieu of Erasmus. Amen. That's a FYI. Which means good news or great news. And here it is broken down into its derivative there, evlogitos, which when you move that into the Latin, it is eulogia, of which we get the English word eulogy. Many people, when they go to a homegoing, they think eulogy means to preach the funeral. The word simply means to speak well of, a high praise. Here Paul is giving the ultimate praise to God. Why is he giving the ultimate praise to God? Because he is getting ready to disclose something here concerning your relationship with him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That should put you at ease and rest and cause you to magnify him, because it shows his love for you long before you got here. All right, read. It's translated here, blessed, or high praise.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us.
Stop. Here we have the Greek verb evlogitos, which basically... You have the aorist tense there, which is what?
Completed action.
So, Pastor, why are you going through all this? And because if there's one thing that you got to get straight in life, is your, if you don't get anything else straight, you get your salvation straight.
I hear you.
If you want to just worry about something, worry about your bills, worry about the children, the kids, so forth, when it comes to your salvation, no.
Hallelujah.
Heaven blessed us. Read.
Having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual.
Everybody says spiritual blessings.
Spiritual.
And where are the spiritual blessings?
In the heavenlies.
And where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
In Christ. In Christ. Takes it out of the air and the atmosphere.
Right.
Takes it out of physicality.
Right.
Into the essence of pure spirituality, and that is in Christ. Everything concerning you is complete and is laid out for your benefit, and you have no part in it. Why? Read verse 4.
As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Before the creation of the world. Now they're going to fight us on this. And for those of you who are viewing or listening to the webcast, I know that what Orthodox Christendom have outlaid before us as an icon. That is, at a certain day, at a certain time, you did a certain thing, and you initiated your relationship. And many ministers and ministries, they won't go into Ephesians chapter 1. Because It is focused in the sphere of eternality. And there's no way to eliminate before. Mm-hmm. Everybody say before.
Before.
It means prior to.
That's right. That's right.
The foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. The creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? He chose us.
Chose us.
In him.
In him.
Uh-huh. Read.
Before the foundation of the world, being us. Holy.
Why did he read that way? Here, the reason why he didn't follow the King James there is because in exegesis, that is what we call a verbal infinitive. Ina. Infinitive in English, what do? We put two in front of it.
Yep.
To be, to go. Which gives it a future inference.
Amen.
Because if I'm going to be, that means I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the Greek, which you can't pick up in the English,
come on.
This is a present infinitive. Which speaks of something that existing, and what he's saying, in eternity, it was existing because in his word, he brought it into being. What did he do?
Amen.
Being what?
Being us holy.
That word there, arios. Holy simply means set apart. Doesn't mean that you look like the holiest thing that ever existed, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all kind of concoctions in our mind as to how things are.
Mm-hmm.
It's what God has said.
Right.
It simply means set apart. That means he set us apart before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
He chose us
before
creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I know what we're taught. We're taught that we choose him. You know, you got to make a choice. The decision of salvation, they call it. You make a choice for Christ. And you come down and you do something or you say something or whatever, and they do something to you, and you're in. And that thing used to puzzle me, and it still does. Did God choose Abraham, or did Abraham choose God?
God chose Abraham.
You go back to all of the patriarchs, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You go through all of God's servants. The judges. You go through Israel. Abraham was down in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Do you think he was thinking about God?
No.
God chose him. Look at all the prophets in the Old Testament. God called them. You come into the New Testament and you see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Did any disciple choose Jesus?
No, not.
He chose each one.
Jesus.
Now, we get over here in the church age,
mm-hmm.
God all of a sudden becomes a wallflower.
I hear you.
It's up to you to make a decision to choose him with what? Third chapter of Romans, it says, none seeketh after him. None won't. There's nothing in me that would want him. The love of God was poured in my heart by the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
But this goes further and tells us that he made the choice before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now I had someone to say to me, and said, oh, that doesn't mean that. I said, well, all right, then tell me what it means. Said, well, I don't know, but it doesn't mean that. There are some people that would like to take and just rub this right out of you.
Amen.
Because you're messing up my evangelistic program
right.
now.
Right. I hear you.
Hmm?
I hear you. Hallelujah.
You're messing up the notches I'm going to put in my belt. Mm-hmm. As to how many people I, quote, led to Christ. Mm-hmm. I led them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't lead anybody to Christ. It came through the essence of an eternal workings.
Amen.
Wherein, according to this, he chose you and separated you. Now how could he choose me and separate me if I don't exist? Now, this is why we're taking time and going through actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. How is a thing ontologized? How does a thing come into being? Through God having spoken it. That's the only way anything exists, is that God has spoken it. And here, this tells us before the foundation of the world that he did it in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it's just tear this page out of the book and a few others.
Right.
When did he do it? Before. And separated us.
Mm-hmm.
At the time he chose you, he's like choosing is to separate. A man chooses a wife, or a woman chooses a husband. I better say it both ways, so I'm getting in trouble here. The choice is the separation.
It is.
Before the foundation of the world. And at that time, read, Brother Deacon.
Being us holy,
separated,
and unblemished,
blameless before him at that time,
before him in love.
At that time, at that point, I should say, that's before time, that's the wrong terminology. In eternity, the choice is in eternity. The separation is in eternity because the separation is the choice.
Amen.
And you're blameless.
Blameless.
You are blameless because you were blameless.
Amen.
That's the way it works. And we keep going through this over and over again. Why? Because if there's anything that you need to have straight in life,
all right.
That is your standing in God.
That's right. That's right.
There must never be a question of that. Where do I stand with God?
All right.
Because it is totally a work of God in eternity versus human efforts are situations in time. And if he did it in eternity, why are we down here in time trying to validate it or certify? Does God need our certification?
No.
The answer to that is no. That is so important. Verse 5.
Preed having predestined.
Yes, that's right. I don't know why he did that. Brother Deacon, you got your Greek lesson coming.
Yes, yes.
And now here at the Grace Gospel Church, yeah, we painstakingly, we're going to go through this. Yes. Amen. I cannot stand up here and begin to try to explain something if we get the wrong utterance.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Aorist participle.
Aorist tense is what?
Completed action.
So it is completed action. That comes from the word proorizo. Pro means before. Orizo means what? To set the boundaries. So God preset the boundaries. Oh my God, hallelujah. Preset the boundaries. So he predestinated us.
Having predestinated us to the adoption of sons.
That Greek word there is iothesion, which means son positioning. He, follow me now. I know this is kind of painstaking, but my God, if you don't get anything else straight, get this straight.
Right.
So I came here to hear about getting my bills straight. Get this straight.
Yes.
This is more important than your bill. Somebody said, well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Read.
Having predestinated us to adoption of sons.
Son positioning.
Through Jesus Christ to him or himself.
To himself. He separated you unto and to son positioning in him. He separated you and made you a son in him. All of this is before the foundation of the creation of the world, before time. Read.
According to the good pleasure.
Why did God do
of the will of him?
By his good will. It pleased God to save me. And I don't know how I'm doing. I can imagine how it could please God to save me. But oh, I'm so glad he did. And this is what the high praise is for. Now, there are men that are going to fight us on this. Come through these scriptures and show us any different, then we'll change. But it's there. And it's there for a purpose. The purpose is what God did in eternity exists in eternity, and eternity hasn't gone anywhere.
Nowhere. Nowhere. It's not on hold.
Eternity has not been dissected by time.
Nope.
Hebrews 1 and 2, time is a creation. The ages were created according to purpose. So time is a creation, a capsule in eternity. There's no such thing as eternity past. Time and then eternity future. That's what some theologian wrote some years ago when all the preachers came out in the pulpit after reading the commentary and they preached it. Eternity is where things actually reside. Time is a manifestation mode. In time, you get testimony and revelation conveyed to us in sequences, because there is no sequencing in time, in eternity rather. The sequencing is in time to piece by piece convey what God has done in eternity. So time is not for God, it's for us.
Hallelujah.
So as finite creatures, we can receive the blessed communication of what God did for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is what brings forth the appreciation. Mm-hmm. This is what service is all about. It's about appreciation.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
That we don't have to browbeat anyone or bribe anyone to serve the Lord. We don't have to build up the egos, brag on them. By the way, we don't do that here. If the essence of who you are having been placed in Christ is not enough, then you need to sit down and get schooled.
Hallelujah.
Because you get more out of appreciation than somebody buttering you up, the member of the month. As long as I'm pastor, there'll never be any such foolishness around here. And when you do something, you know who gets the credit? God. Someone got a little upset with me some time ago, this was many years ago, and said, why don't you just say we thank brother so and so for doing something? No, I thank God. Because if God didn't put it in it, he wouldn't do it. So the credit goes to God. And what's wrong with God getting the credit? What's wrong with us? Something's missing. Even the love that you have for God.
That's right.
How did you get it? Romans chapter 5, because it says the love of God was poured into our heart. Huh? By the Holy Spirit, by God. You can't even take credit for loving God. And if God didn't pour the love for him in your heart, no way could you love him.
I hear you.
My flesh doesn't. My flesh doesn't love God. My flesh loves me. My flesh is all about me. So this is why we go back to this section. Now, as we deal with our discourse, scripture distinguishing actualization in eternity, which is all by God's decree, from manifestation in time. A thing actually exists in God's saying in eternity where there is no sequencing. And whatever is brought into existence, it remains. In time, things come, and thank God, things go.
Hallelujah.
No matter how bad that thing is, how terrible it is, how does the King James put it? And it came what?
To pass.
To pass. It didn't come to kill you, as Brother Peter Corroborsby said. Came to test you, to try you, but not to kill you. All right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Long introduction, a preamble, a prolegomenon. Amen. It takes time. It takes time. Some we're used to coming together, we drum up some emotional, and we come in here and we get some feel good and say, oh, the Lord's presence was really in that place. Then we walk out the door and bam, life hits you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have anything
to
deal with it. And walk out that door, you should walk out that door with some ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about spiritual ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, sir.
To deal with all the things we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Deacon, everybody, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now in this passage, You know, Ephesians, as I say, is a very deep book. Mm-hmm. In fact, one who I had great respect for, he's going to be with the Lord now. And some of you may have listened to him in years past, those of us that are old enough. J. Vernon McGee. And basically he said, there are two books that I don't even try to teach from because I don't understand them. And Ephesians was one of them. The other one was Revelation. If you do not understand the difference between what actually exists in eternity from the recording of the revealing of the expression of what God decreed in time, if you don't understand the difference between the two, yes, it's hard to follow this. Amen. One is the actuality, another is the expression Amen. Of the actuality. Mm-hmm. Actualization is what is. Mm-hmm. Manifestation is the expression of what is. A revelation of what is. And there's a difference. As we live our life, or what we call life here in life, it's really just a matrix. It's one of the glossary definitions here around page 3 or 4. Don't go to them right now. But it outlays what it is. It's just a field of representations for the sake of conveying something that did not originate in that field of measurements. So what you're going through and what you're seeing, nothing originates in time. Amen. It all originates in God's same. And so we don't ever look into life or look into time for answers. Where do we look? Into God's word, where everything is actualized. Because all you're going to see in time is the process. To get to the purpose, you've got to go to God's word. The purpose controls the process. The purpose is the reason for the process. This happened because what God had use for it. You see, we sing songs that said, God will move the mountain. Then we pray, Lord, move the mountain. He doesn't move the mountain. And we get frustrated and confused for long. Discouraged.
Yes.
So I prayed. And here's what we don't understand. God didn't bring the... how did the mountain get there? Who brought the mountain?
God.
Job and his children and his possessions.
Yep.
Who brought that mountain?
God.
Satan shows up and says, hey, fella, what are you doing? Well, I've been going up and down the earth. You know the story. Most of us, we know all those Old Testament stories. Have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
But who brought up Job?
God.
So yeah, you serve him because he's given you everything. Hey, I would too if you can. And he said... the Lord knowing and causing what he had placed in Job's heart, said, all right, how about him?
Yes.
But he set some limits. He said, you can't take his life. So when the mountain comes into Job's life, who ordered it? Here's what we don't understand. We pray for God to move the mountain. But the purpose of God in bringing the mountain was not to move it, but to use it.
I hear you.
What is this? But what? What is this for? What purpose does God... See, we're looking at what we're doing in them. Nobody's checking to see what God is doing. It's purpose. God is a purpose God. That thing wouldn't be there if God didn't order it for purpose. The devil. Here the devil's getting permission to do something. And then did you see him try to take Job's life? You know, he couldn't. These are the things we must understand. So you have the differences here of what you see, which is manifestation, backed up by purpose, versus the essence of purpose, which is God's design according to his will and good pleasure, which is in eternity. So what's in the matrix? What's in time? Absolutely nothing but testimony. Read that. Verse 13.
We're reading now from the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, the 13th verse, King James Version. But all things...
Everybody got that, amen? All right, read.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
See that? Now, let's read that from the Greek very slowly, Brother Deacon. And well, first let's go to our glossary of definitions. Turn to page four. Manifestation. Everybody said manifestation.
Manifestation.
All right, Brother Deacon, read that.
Manifestation. The outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization.
And what we call materialization is not solid. This death isn't solid. Now what that verse is saying, let's go back to our verse. It's that everything that is manifested is... Have you read it from the Greek yet?
Not yet.
All right, read that from the Greek. Verse 13.
Now Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13.
And 14.
13 and 14, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
But all things being reproved by the light is manifested. 14, for everything being manifested, light is.
Is light.
Wherefore,
is
he
light,
says.
Light. That's good enough. We stop. My time, that clock is beating me up. It's, everything that is manifested is light. Everything that you see, touch, taste is nothing but light. There's nothing in life that is of itself substance. It's all manifestation of testimony. That's what this is talking about. We have a couple of science teachers in this congregation that basically tell you that all in what we call creation are all in the universe is either what? Energy or mass. God speaks. God is light. Everybody say God is light.
God is light.
And out of him, the light goeth forth, that as it says in John chapter 1, it pierces the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it or apprehend it. You go into a room, it's dark, you turn the light on, what happens to the light? Well, you turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? It's gone. You never heard of darkness chasing light out. No, light from God. and the light goes up and it transitions out of spirituality into physicality.
Amen.
In the form of energy.
Yeah.
It cools down vapor. Mm-hmm. It cools down gas. It cools down liquid. It cools down what?
Solid.
But it's all what? Light. Because you can go the other way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Solid, you heat it up enough, you got gas. You heat that up enough, you got what?
Vapor.
Now you get into nuclear fusion,
mm-hmm.
and you explode the atom, and basically you're into energy. Now you've reached the extremity
mm-hmm.
of physicality.
Yeah.
But where did the energy come from?
Light.
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. As we're going to take our time, we're going to walk through this. I mean, because you see, things of life begin to beat you up and beat you down, and then you say, what is this? I've had people come to me and say, I don't understand. I've been trying more hard to serve the Lord, and it looks like everything I try to do, it just falls. I fall flat on my face. I say, well, that's the first thing, let's get out of I and me. What is God doing? All right, give me 5 minutes, and then I'm going to blast right out of this, and we'll take this up. And the good thing about it, I get to come back every week, right? Let's go to page 6. I'm going to do one paragraph, and then I'm down. Now, we have gone through for the last number of minutes distinguishing actualization, what is for manifestation, what is represented. Let's go to the top of the page there. Why have we done this? Because when you're looking at something, for you to know that that's not what it is. What you see is not what you get. This scenario, is there everyone with me? Top of page 6. This scenario manifests in the erroneous projections of personal hopes and fears as humanly independent contributions in life processes. That's the way it looks. Whatever approaches of creature adulation this invokes in modernity simply redounds in continuous of uncertainty. As long as you look at life and you think life is of itself, all thing you're going to see is runaway train. Resultantly, humans misconstrue chiefly in this respect and solely attribute changes in life situations and instances as components of their choices and willingness. What I'm doing, what I didn't do, regardless of the recurrent derivations of impute alterations, what I'm saying, in spite of the fact that that thing doesn't come out the same way if you're doing the same thing, or it comes out the same way if you're doing different things. Somehow that should trace back, hey, this thing is not about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, life prioritized focus inhibits inwardly and self-provokingly rather than outwardly, and God-inspired source. Actualized compositions are tolerant of their variations in their manifestations to eternal enlightenment of things, simply residing as they are because their latter state aren't any better founded than the former. The latter state of that thing is not coming out based upon what you did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, what if I don't do anything? Well, you don't have control of that either. Whether you do or don't, that's been decreed and ordered by God.
I hear you. I hear you.
When Job lost all of his possessions, what did he do about it? He go out and say, well, let me try to do something to get this back.
Mm-hmm. The Lord gives
it. But he didn't try to, quote, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Lost his children, he didn't try to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this mean, Pastor, we shouldn't get out and we shouldn't be in adulteries? No, 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 no. You are going to do what's been decreed for you to do.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Or not do.
Or not.
Based on the fact that it wasn't decreed for you.
I hear you.
To not do. Mm-hmm. Now, well, my goodness, what are we, robots? What is a creature?
Mm-hmm.
That which is created. Created means designed.
Mm-hmm.
And God has laid out things based upon what? His purpose. Everybody say God's purpose.
God's purpose.
All right, let's finish this up. Now, on the one hand, life prioritized focusing inhabits inwardly and self-provokingly rather than outwardly and God-inspired source. Actualized compositions, everybody say actualized compositions, are tolerant of these variations in their manifestations through eternal enlightenment of things simply residing as they are, because the latter state is, now you understand what we're saying, it's not better than form, amen, it doesn't matter, is what God has laid it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
This informed reasoning is always in sight of a benevolent, and this is where we stop today. Here's what gets us nervous. We're not really sure of God. Not really. And this is why we spend so much time on salvation. If God is in control of this, then why is it this way? And I'm nervous about what he's doing. This is why we wrote the book, amen, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will.
Don't.
We're kind of nervous about it. No, we don't really trust. We sing the song, we trust him. We just sing, we don't trust God.
Amen.
If you're going to trust him, you're going to relax no matter what's going down. That's if you really have informed eternal comprehension of trust. God's purpose, God's will, whatever it is, I'm okay with it. Job was okay with it. The Lord what? And the Lord what? What?
Blessed
the name of the Lord. I'm all right with it. I said, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm not. If that thing is going a certain way, that is, God has a reason for it.
Amen.
Stop looking at what we're doing and look, amen, into the Word of God to see what God is doing with it. What is God doing with it? And it comes out not against you, but for you. Oh, my God. Give him a praise. So this informed reasoning is always in sight of a benevolent and loving God. Then trepidations incurred and legalism's fear for judgment of creator. We're no better than the pagan. The pagan runs and he hides from his God. The pagan dreads the presence of his God. While he's in awe, he also really don't want him to show up because he doesn't trust him. That's the pagan with his God. Yet God's requirements aren't recoverable alterations of human purposes, and this is why we should look to God. Look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Oh, we sing songs.
Yeah.
He's a mighty good leader. We just sing.
That's right.
Do you really know he's a good leader this morning?
Say,
let Jesus lead you. Then when you go where you don't want to go, you're almost like Peter.
Yes.
What's this fella going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this on me?
Amen.
No. The essence of it is God loves me. And it goes back to salvation.
Amen.
It goes back to salvation. If I can come to appreciate and feel secure in the fact that I'm a son of God, an heir of God, an heir of that that belongs to Christ. If I know that all things are working for me, not against me. If I know and understand the essence of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus and having died for my sins and rose for my justification. If I understand, oh my God, y'all don't hear me. If I understand, oh my God, the essence of what He has already accomplished. If He has done all of that, what is that in comparison to my bills? How am I going to trust Him to pay my bills if I don't trust Him to save me? How am I going to trust Him to heal my body if I don't trust Him that He has placed me in Him forever? No! The essence of life is to get our eyes off ourselves and focus on Him. It's in Him. All about Him. Oh my God. Hallelujah. But you don't get that information walking around, looking around, trying to assess things, amen, as we see them. But as the song says, amen, and all people used to sing, look and live. Repeat that. Look and live. Look and live. It's recorded. It's word. Look and I tell you, when you do, you're going to live.